Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yeah, the show y'all been waiting for, people.
Let's get it.
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Here we go.
About to make it do it and do on y'all asses tonight.
What's getting the bed, JQ, you've been right out the gate, bro.
Yeah.
I like it right out the gate. Welcome to Talking Sports with 12 Man. Just want to tell you guys really quickly. I just want to acknowledge that I'm a really fantastic host. King Kong ain't got nothing on me. I'm pretty much going to be in the sports talk hall.
Just watch that movie today.
What are we talking about? No, I'm just trying to tell you just how I feel.
Training,
my Instagram
man,
is how awesome I am, man.
Today.
That's a good movie too.
No,
but,
he
yeah,
messed
I'm
up.
To let you know that. What?
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. He messed up my leading. I was going to use it too.
Oh, man. Go ahead, JQ.
No, I was just going to say, I ain't going to say how great of a show we're going to have, prematurely. Some people would like to get on there and jump the gun a little bit. So I was just going to say, let's make it happen. Then we'll say it's a great show at the end. Dre, you're a fool, boy.
Oh, you are a fool.
I knew exactly where you were going.
About that reference, too, man. I was hoping that someone would pick up on the reference, too, man. But, we'll talk about it, too. Rob, if LeBron was talking about how awesome he was. And, before he scored the 30,000 points, he was just, putting himself on Instagram how awesome he was. You're like, bro, we know you're a great player. He pretty much talking about how awesome he was, man. It was crazy. Anyway,
he hadn't even done it yet.
Oh. Yeah, he was already like, I was like, dude, oh, man.
I'm like, man, I know that's a topic, but, dude, your team is struggling right now. That should be your main focus.
Yeah, dog, I was weak. I love LeBron, but all I could do was put my face in my palm like, come on, bro, you are not helping us out here in the world. Defend you when you go out there and do that.
Dude, it's crazy. All right. Anyway, let me introduce my fellows real quick. It's probably sorry. We are ready to go. We're firing. Again, I'm Andre Say. It's the 24th of January. Talk Sports 12th, man. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir? You doing all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing all right, man. I think I need to be in that conversation for being one of the five greatest athletes of all time.
Oh, bro. He is.
Top five drinkers of all time. We'll like it.
Hey, easy. Easy.
That other voice that you hear, let everyone know, America.
One of the top five capital locators of all time.
Is Rob Ford. He's firing off over here. Rob, bro. Come on, man. What's up, bro?
Oh, man. Got to make it fun, right?
Bro, I'm giving you the intro. What's going on this evening, Rob? You doing all right, bro?
Doing great, man. Ready to make it do what it do.
He must have an extra nap the day, boy. He's frisky.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of frisky.
You got an extra
right
nap in the day. You frisky.
Oh, man. America, let's get the show started real quick.
Yeah, that too.
Without further ado, I'm trying to corral my co-host here, at least kind of get some topics on the way here. But, again, just really quickly, let's start the numbers. The 424-243-9519 is always the number. Shout out to us. We haven't heard anything from our guys from Jersey, from Miami, so hopefully we'll hear from them, or even Big Mike. It's been a minute. So hope everyone's doing good. And then always follow us on Twitter. Yeah, Big Mike and Al. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/talkingsports12man, or if you click in 12th Man Sports, you will find us as well. All right, gentlemen. So what Rob was talking about earlier and the moves that the Cavs need to make to save their season. And, it's pretty much almost in dire straits. And you're thinking that you know, they're going to somehow have this magic button, Rob, JQ, and kind of turn on and have that second half of the season. But I don't see that happening. I really think it has to do something with Isaiah Thomas. I don't think he really wants to be there. That's a whole other conversation. But, you know, some of your thoughts, Rob, about what moves that the Cavs need to do to kind of save their season, if you will.
Wow. I kind of agree with you. I know in years past, you've always seen the Cavs hit a slump at some point in the season, but they always seem to flip the switch and get ready for playoff time and at least make it to the finals. This team, the way it's constructed right now, I just can't see that happening. I don't see the switch just flipping all of a sudden with this team. First of all, two of your best three offensive players can't guard a statue, and that's Isaiah Thomas and Kevin Love. They're both liabilities on the defensive end, and it really hurts them from that standpoint. And to be perfectly honest with you, with their current roster right now, to me, the best lineup they can put out on the floor is playing LeBron James at the center position. And I know that sounds crazy, but on defense, they're better off with him playing a center position and him being a point center on offense. And so you can really see how much this team misses Kyrie Irving, too. You can really see the difference that this team and Tristan Thompson is not the player that he was 2-3 years ago as well. And so there's a lot of things lacking. So I think if there was a move that you could make, I would try to figure out a way to see if you can go get DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers. And they just need somebody with that kind of athleticism in the middle to kind of defend the paint. They need to get better on defense. This team has been bad defensively the last 2 years, and they're even worse. And they have to find a way to get better on the defensive end. And they need somebody like that, somebody that can defend the rim, block shots, who can rebound, who's also athletic enough if you have to get out on the perimeter a little bit. And so finding a way to get a player like DeAndre Jordan, he's probably going to hurt you on the offensive end. But I think with the pick-and-roll game with a player like LeBron James, you know, he can still get the alley hoops and he can still get you the putbacks and things of that nature. But I think you need a player like that to help them on a defensive end. Not sure. You know, I'm sure it's probably going to take giving up that first-round pick to get a player like a DeAndre Jordan and possibly even Kevin Love. But I think they need a player like that to help them as far from a defensive standpoint. I know they're in trade discussions with George Hill. Not sure how that's going to help them much at all. They're looking at trading Iman Shumpert and I'm drawing a blank here all of a sudden. Iman Shumpert and someone else, maybe J.R. Smith, George Hill. Maybe he can help them get their sets a little bit better.
Yeah.
But number one for me is getting DeAndre Jordan. Number two, you need another athletic wing player that can help them defensively and shooting the basketball offensively. And Paul George would have been perfect in the offseason if they would have pulled that trigger. OKC beat him to the punch in that move. But a player of that caliber is the other player that I think they're missing. But as the team is constructed right now, to me, you got to play LeBron a lot of minutes at the center position.
Man, they're also looking at Ken Baldwin too. There's some rumors about that too. Yeah, go ahead, JQ. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's not going to help either. That's about the same thing as George Hill. Just to circle back, Mike did text me and say he's going to try to dial in here in the next 15 minutes. So you might be seeing trying to jump in here. So his ears must have been burning because right when you said that, he texted me. But to your point, I hear what you're saying, but it's gotten away to this point in the league where DeAndre Jordan, the way the game is played, I just don't know how big of a deal difference he can make. I agree with Rob. He can shore up those areas. But you also have DeAndre Jordan that has made it be known that he wants to go to Houston. So I don't know how happy he will be going to Cleveland. You're going to get another disgruntled, you know, veteran coming in there that doesn't want to be there, so to speak, like Isaiah Thomas. So I don't really know if that's going to help a whole lot from that standpoint. And I heard something from Stephen A. Smith earlier today, and he's right. But the best thing they have is trading LeBron James. But he's got a no-trade clause. And if you're talking about from the Cavaliers, and not for LeBron James, but from the Cavaliers' perspective, keeping that pick from the Nets and their pick and trading LeBron is the best way to rebuild the Cavs. That won't help LeBron because he's not going to waive his no-trade clause to go somewhere where they're going to have to give up a ton of picks and our players to make that deal, you know, more palatable for Cleveland. And Cleveland, I don't think, and I think rightfully so, it wants to trade that next pick. If they're looking at it where LeBron is not giving you assurances of staying and you've already lost Kyrie, Isaiah is probably gone. You know, like you said, Kevin Love is very one-dimensional, so to speak. You know, your best bet is to sell off on your best assets and to tear it down and then try to rebuild it again. But, of course, I don't think they're going to do that. And they just really can't because they can't trade LeBron because of the no-trade clause. So all that to say is I think Cleveland is just stuck. And they're going to have to go somewhere and have a, you know, a guys-only trip to a cabin somewhere and get around a campfire and sing Kumbaya or something. They're going to have to come together and figure this thing out because they're only going to go, I think, they do. And they supposedly had one, and they went out and got rolled by a Kawhi-less, you know, San Antonio team. You know, San Antonio is a very good structured team, but without Kawhi, you shouldn't get rolled like that. So I don't know how well that meeting they just had, where it was Isaiah Thomas leading the charge against Kevin Love saying he wasn't really sick. You know, it's just they're just a dumpster fire right now, and they've got talent, but like Rob has said, you know, rightfully so, many times they're old and they don't have a whole lot of spark coming off that bench. They don't have a whole lot of young guys, hungry guys that can go out there and get that so 3-and-D kind of wing player. So they got to kind of just find out how to do it from within. And Tyronn Lue has got to stop being so, you know, stubborn. He's got to juggle that lineup. That's interesting, putting LeBron at the five, but I don't know if he'll get that drastic. With it, but you know, if they keep slipping in the standings, he may be forced to go to that. But I think Cleveland is just in a state where if they don't figure it out amongst themselves, there is nobody they're going to go get unless somebody just falls, you know, off a Turner truck in their lap, so to speak, because somebody gets mad somewhere else and they just, you know, and they just get upset and they unload them to Cleveland. They get lucky. I think if they don't find it from within, it don't happen.
Yeah. And you remember when LeBron was with the Heat, Eric Spoelstra played LeBron at the four a lot. With mm-hmm. Bosh at the five. So mm-hmm. he does have the brute strength to be able to play in the paint from the defensive standpoint. And but they have to find a way to get more athleticism on the floor, and that's what's really killing them right now. They just can't match up with teams from an athleticism standpoint. And as you mentioned, JQ, they are the oldest team in the league right now as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, second all your points. I'm not really crying for the Cavs, man. So, you know, it's all good, man. You know, it's kind of a good sight to see. But, you know, anyway, we'll keep this going here. Let's talk about some NBA updates here. Let's talk this first game, Rob. Let's talk about the Pelicans at the Hornets, Rob.
Well, once again, the Pelicans just find a way to just keep teams that shouldn't hang around. I mean, the Pelicans wind up winning the game. 101-96, but man, every game they play is close, and they keep you sweating to the end of the game. But balanced scoring night for the Pelicans. Jrue Holiday and both Anthony had 19 points each. DeMarcus Cousins a little bit quiet after his big night he had on Monday night, where he had like 43 and 20 and 10 assists.
He was nuts.
He's tired.
Yeah, they gave him, a little break tonight. But they have to find a way to start putting these kind of teams away early.
Gotcha. Anything
you want to comment on that? Yeah, like I said, when I watched that game, you know, last week when they played the Celtics, I could hear Rob in my ear, like, what are you doing? What kind of offense is this? Why do you have 2 7-footers playing 23 feet away from the basket? It's ridiculous, and you know I'm not a Pelicans fan, but when you have that kind of talent and you got 2 7-footers, why are you not playing a high-low game with them? When you bring one guy, to the top of the free throw line and put one down the post and let them run that offense through them in that kind of high-low set or that double horn set where you bring them both to the free throw line and run a double screen off of it and then run some action off of that. I don't understand what Alvin Gentry is doing when you have that kind of talent. I just listen. he better, you know, call Jason Kidd because they're gonna be in a support group together here shortly if he don't get it together. Because I don't understand how you squander that kind of talent when you run that kind of ridiculous offense. I agree with Rob. There's no reason for them to be letting teams with that kind of talent hang around with them. They should be threatening the upper echelon in the West and not just be trying to scrape by to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree. And right now they're still sitting in the sixth position in the Western Conference, but they're starting to separate themselves a little bit. But they should be competing for at least a four spot in the West, in my opinion.
Yep.
There it is. This is a downer for me. Raptors at Hawks. The Raptors just pretty much had their way at the Hawks. I don't know what you would say about that, Rob.
Well, yeah, the Raptors were in a little mini slump prior to this game. And
of course they were.
Obviously, the Hawks wasn't a match for
them. The elixir.
This Toronto team is with the way Cleveland is struggling right now, this Toronto team is a team to watch in the Eastern Conference. And I say that even with the Celtics in the Eastern Conference, Toronto is a team that potentially could really be in the NBA Finals representing the Eastern Conference. Because now you're starting to see the Celtics struggle offensively. I don't know if you realize this, but Boston in the month of January is the worst offensive team in basketball, but the best defensive team in basketball. Really weird. And so they didn't hit a point where they're struggling offensively, especially when Kyrie Irving is out of the game. And Jason Tatum, you're starting to see this as he's played that amount of games where they played in college, so he's starting to hit a little wall a little bit. So they got to find a way to either get him some rest or to rejuvenate him a little bit here going forward. But they've really hit a wall offensively. So Toronto is a team to really beware of. I mean, they have the size with Valanciunas and Serge Ibaka, and also with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. This is a team that has the talent. Speaking of the Celtics, I mean, they had a one-point lead on the road against the Clippers right now. But Toronto's a team to watch, in my opinion, with the way Cleveland is struggling defensively and the way Boston is struggling offensively.
Well, we talked about that, where Boston was riding so high. And we said, can they keep that up? Because they have young guys, and, you know, can they keep that apex up going through the second half? And I said that would be their struggle. And could they do that? And they're hitting a little rope up here along the way. I'm not going to, you know, kill it too much. You know, sometimes you get into those doldrums of a long 82-game season, and you hit little bumps in the road. I still think Boston is the team to beat in the East because they can, to your point, they can flat out play defense. And I think that offense will come back around. But when you can play defense to the level they can play defense, you always give yourself the chance. So I'm not going to struggle. I'm not going to, you know, kill them too much for that. I just don't trust Toronto to take them too far. You know, it's like when you have your NCAA bracket and you're looking at, like, a Villanova prior to a couple years ago in Arizona, and you're like, yeah, they've got the team, but can I really trust them to keep advancing them in my bracket without them killing me? I feel that way about Toronto. I feel like Kyle Lowry, you know, he's small. I mean, he's shorter. And sometimes I think he sometimes struggles to get his shot off, and especially in the playoffs, and teams can game plan for you a little bit more. I just don't trust him and DeRozan as your top two guys to be, you know, giant killers, so to speak. So until they see them do it, I'm just going to reserve judgment and say they can't do it. I'm still going to roll with Boston in the East. I just think Toronto hit a little speed bump, but when you get to play the Hawks, you get a chance to figure all those things out. Sorry, Dre, but it's just what it is. So, I mean, you know, I think Toronto will bust out a little bit, but I still can't trust them to say I'll put them in over the Celtics. I just think that Celtics team has the right mix of youth and athleticism, and then they have their closer in Kyrie Irving, and I just think they find a way. And I think what we talked about with Cleveland, the way they're going, I can't bet on them figuring it out.
Yeah, not saying Toronto's getting there, but to me, they are a team to watch when you look at their personnel versus Boston's personnel.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't trust them, dude.
All right, let's wrap up with the Spurs and the Grizzlies, Rob.
Yeah, easy win by the Spurs. The Grizzlies falling off the face of the earth here. Patty, very balanced scoring for the Spurs. Patty Mills actually led the team in scoring with only 15 points. But the Spurs were 108-85 road victory over the Grizzlies. Marc Gasol, 18 points in a loss, 7 rebounds. But, you know, once again, very balanced scoring against the Spurs. It just goes to show you how well coached they are as a team when their best player is out and Greg Popovich is still able to put together a good system in place and coach them to victory.
Yeah,
Pau Gasol with a double-double, 14 points and 15 rebounds.
Yeah, that fist still firing is making him look real good right now. He's sitting at home with that pretty lady he married to. Like, ha, ha, ha. Joke's on you, Memphis. You fire me, and it's really not helping you out any. I mean, I remember us talking about them in the first week of the season when they were 3-0 and surprised and seeing if they could, you know, keep that going. Well, the answer is no, and you can't fire your coach for no good reason just because, you know, him and the center get into a spat, and it's looking really bad for Memphis, and it's just not a whole – I just don't see a whole lot for him. I mean, Conley is having trouble stay healthy. And like I talked about before, we're going to a place in the league where – with the, you know, with the positionless basketball, so to speak, where the traditional center is not as big of a weapon as it used to be in the past. And I think that's what Memphis is finding out, especially with Conley being, you know, still being up and down with the injuries and whatnot this year. So I think Memphis is pretty much packing it in for trying to, you know, for a top-10 pick. And that's just where they are. Sorry, Mr.
Yeah.
Big Mike is on.
We saw that coming toward the end of last season, in my opinion. To me, they started really dropping off. I mean, they were top two or three team most of the year last year in the Western Conference, but they really fell off at the end of the season. Still got in the playoffs as a seven. But you can see that the team was headed for toward a downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Big Mike?
Yes, sir.
What is
Big Mike? What's going on?
What's doing, sir, everybody?
What's going on, man?
We're just wrapping up some NBA updates, man. You been doing all right and everything, sir?
Yeah, man, I'm doing good. I'm sorry it's been a long time since I've called in. I miss y'all. I've told JQ a few times I've been meaning to call in, but I'm not going to take any more time out of the conversation, so go ahead.
Yeah, you
cool.
can't call
like
in since the Saints beat the Packers.
Uh-oh.
Say what? Wait, the Packers are still relevant?
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Come on now. You know there's another topic we can talk about.
We'll let you slide on that, too. Now, you know what? And, Big Mike, we were saying that your ears must have been itching because I literally said that to JQ. I was like, it hasn't been, it's been a minute since you heard from me. So, literally, the fact that you called in is pretty awesome. I'm going to play a lottery tomorrow. So, yeah, good times, man. So,
yeah, didn't,
that's what it's all about.
Didn't have anything to do with the fact that the Packers have fallen off. It is what it is, but glad to be back talking to y'all.
Good. All right, let's keep this party going here. We're going to talk about a couple things, and the next topic we're going to talk about is we're still in the NBA here, and Kevin Durant, he's kind of developed a little nasty streak here, and I don't know if you noticed that too, JQ, and you want to kind of lead this one off. You most certainly can, man. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. It's just the evolution of Kevin Durant. And I'm probably just spending too much time
yes.
in the Bay Area there with Draymond Green hanging out, you know, slapping chicks and breaking into cars and whatever else they're doing out
no.
there in Oakland. But cheers.
No.
But
hashtag
I'm
me
just
too.
Playing. I'm just saying, honestly, I like that for him. And I think it's also helped his defensive side of the game. We talked about it a week ago, I think 2 weeks ago. He's flat out just really getting it done on the defensive side of the ball, locking people down and blocking shots. And that you have to have that. And I like that for him. I've liked Kevin Durant's offensive game for sure, I think, as most of us do. But his nasty streak and the way it's spilling over into the defensive side of the ball in a good way is a phenomenal thing to behold, to watch him evolve when you think, okay, this guy is just going to be a scorer. He's going to be a scorer. That's what he's going to do. And to have him, you know, expand his game that way and give you a little bit of that edge that DC is jumping all up out of him. I like it a lot for Kevin Durant. I really do.
Rob.
Well, you know, I don't like the Warriors, but I totally agree. You know, when he was with OKC, you know, he had the reputation for being soft, and he couldn't take OKC over the couldn't bring them over the hump. And, you know, he wasn't a closer. He wasn't a finisher. And now I think this nasty streak is really helped him to be you know, a very intense basketball player. I mean, obviously he went to a very loaded team. It probably was very easy for him to take on this role now with Golden State. But I really think it's really helped his basketball game out tremendously. And as JQ said, it's really taken his defensive intensity to another level. And so I think the nasty streak that he has, he and Draymond Green brings the edge to their basketball team. It allows them to kind of be the enforcers. And then you still got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and being able to knock down open threes. And quite as a tip, Klay Thompson is one of the better defenders in the league, mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, it's – you know, it would take a I don't know what it would take for somebody to beat them, but they're a clear-cut favorite to win it again this season.
Hey, Houston's doing a good job of trying to be that guy.
Yep, trying. Go ahead, Big Mike. Any comments on that?
Hey, man, I love the nastiness. I love it. I think he plays to the situation he's in. When he was in Oklahoma City, that's a different part of the country. That's not what they were expecting out there. Golden State is still maybe not what they were expecting out there, but Draymond Green was a little maybe extreme, and you got Steph Curry that's a little on the other side of the extreme, and Kevin Durant is all of a sudden coming into his own. He's a baller. He is as talented as anybody in the league, including LeBron James. And he is nasty. All of a sudden, he's got an attitude, and I think that puts him right up there, if not puts
look
him
out.
Above LeBron.
And good points. And I think
I'll take Kevin Durant with my first pick any day.
I will too, easily. Now, granted, like I said, it's tough because I think this Kevin Durant version of him because before. So you have to go through a little seasoning, and then he's finally, like I said, everything is culminating because he was the good guy, right? OKC, like, oh, Kevin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
mm-hmm.
like you said, mm-hmm. you know, JQ, he kind of evolve and be like, all right, you know, I can kind of flex and you know, y'all talking, I'm taking all these shots. And now he's, like, embracing that role. I mean, you know, you've seen movies where the good guy becomes a bad guy and you know, vice versa. And now you're starting to kind of
Guilt
develop tendencies, and it's okay.
Above the rim.
And you're like, man. I didn't even get that string, but you've got a maturation problem. That's a whole other side, bro. You take it.
Wow, not above the rim.
Oh, man.
I went way back. I read deep.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you did.
Anyway.
From way downtown.
We got to talk about this briefly about LeBron congratulating himself on Instagram. I don't know if we have to talk too much more about this subject, JQ, but just to kind of like segue, it's just funny how he put that out there, and you're like, dude, it was pretty hilarious, man. I'm glad to be here with you, JQ. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's crazy, and the thing about it is that listen, everybody knows I'm from Ohio, and it's rare you get a transcendent player in basketball from Ohio to the level that LeBron James has ascended to. So I have that love for him from that aspect. And again, he has ridiculous talent, but he's making it real, really, 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 really hard to defend that. Like, dude, you can't get out there and put a picture of you in the seventh grade in your jersey with a, you know, 500 word. Yeah, I'm the junk. I made it to 3,000, 30,000 points. Look at me, you know, when you hadn't done it yet, what if he had rolled his ankle in the first quarter and hadn't got those 7 points? How dumb would he have looked at that point of view in that point? Like, you feel like he's going to get there, but dude, just let it happen and let other people congratulate you. Don't go out there and do that. You don't have to toot your own horn. We know how good you are. It was just so ridiculous. All the LeBron fans are probably like, you know, come on, man. Come on, brother. Don't do that. You can't defend that. It's so ridiculous and over the top that you just cannot defend it. I don't know what he was going through that day. If he was, you know, broke out his SNL, you know, looking in the mirror, I am somebody, I am special. And he just decided, you know, flex in the mirror and drop that Instagram post on us or whatever. But just be easy, LeBron. Go out there and worry about, you know, not being the eighth seed in the East by the time the season is over. And then we'll have something to talk about.
Gotcha. Hold that thought real quick, guys, because apparently we got another person that joined in. Welcome to Talking Sports. It's a full line. What's up? Who's calling in?
How is everybody? This is Rodney.
Hey, Rodney.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Yeah, I just got a couple of quick things to bring up. I wasn't going to talk about LeBron James, but it is just 100% backs up the absolute fact that black guys from Akron are weird. They always have been. They always will be. They're not like black guys from Miami or Cleveland. If you're not from Canton or Akron, you can't speak on this. They're corny. That's the reason he pencils that haircut in every night. So I just wanted to talk about that real quick.
Wow.
But guys, listen. We need to talk about it.
Coming from Bruce from Columbus.
Yeah, I'm not
man.
From Columbus. Listen, guys.
He's
number two as far as LeBron James goes. Guys, he's been with the same woman since he was 13 years old. That tells you everything you need to know. Listen, as far as this Nasser thing, this Dr. Nasser with the U.S. Olympic team, have you guys covered that at all about the guy that got 75 years for what he did to those girls for the Olympics, the doctor?
Not yet.
Okay. We haven't talked to the
doctor. We haven't covered it, but we are.
There's one question nobody has asked yet, and it's something that I hopefully your panel, which I listen to here at work, I actually run a night school class, daycare for kids, but is in court all those girls got a chance to talk to him and confront him based on what he did, which is a very serious topic. I mean, but if I was in court and I got a chance to talk to him, the one question I would want to ask him is, can I smell your finger?
Oh. Wow.
I was waiting for that.
I was worried. I thought I was going the wrong direction.
Yeah,
I tried to come
down.
Wow. Yeah. I was waiting for it. I kind of like was thinking. I thought he was going to do something. And I thought he was going
to
talk about something. You know,
I tried to cut him off
when
I called him Bruce.
We should have known something when we started talking about black guys in Akron.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was throwing the line. Oh, my God.
I was ready, but then, every now and then we get, it was a 678 number, so I figured it was somebody from Atlanta, so I thought it was, like, one of somebody that I knew, but it's all
let
good.
Me,
third time
this.
We've been catfished.
Let yeah, me just yeah, say yeah, that, Bruce, yeah. From Columbus, you give white dudes a bad name, bro.
Yeah, that is special. Wow. I mean, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, what else can
and
you say to that? I thought he was going to say something serious, and then
yeah,
he went to
yeah,
smell
me too,
my
me
fingers.
Too, me too. Yeah.
Thanks
for
having a quick figure, Andre. I think Andre had a thing on a button ready.
Yeah, he was ready.
Did I get here in time to talk about the five best athletes of all time?
Oh, yeah, you definitely have
to. We're going to get to it shortly. Yep.
Really quickly, Rob, do your quick thoughts on that, and then, we'll talk about that. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I kind of lost track where we were after that call, but we were talking about LeBron and LeBron and his post, correct?
Yes,
we are.
I know I briefed on it earlier in the show, and to me, his focus was just in the wrong place. And right now, the way that team, and I'm going to steal a phrase from Jim Mora, the way that team is playing like diddly poo right now, that should be his main focus. and not worrying about the 30,000 points. Don't get me wrong, that's an incredible feat. Only 7 players in NBA history have done that, and he's done it at the fastest of any player in NBA history. Outstanding feat. Congratulations. But right now, your focus has to be on figuring out a way how you can turn that dumpster fire around. Of a basketball team, especially if you want to, be playing deep into June, which you're accustomed to playing to. To me, that's where his focus should have been. The focus should not have been posting that prior to even breaking the record. To me, that sends the wrong message to your fans. That sends the wrong message to your teammates. And I've always thought of LeBron as being one of the most unselfish basketball players that has ever played the game. That instance, to me, was very selfish. And like I said, you let the praise come from other people. You don't have to praise yourself in that situation, especially with the way your team is
I'm
playing.
I'm the greatest.
Right now.
I'm the greatest, though, bro. Come on, man. Sorry. Go ahead. We got about 2 minutes here. Go ahead, Mike. Wrap it up.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, it's man, that was it was weird, frankly.
Yes.
If you know, at the end of the day, if you're as good as you say you are, you don't need to say it. You know what I mean? And,
yep.
And it felt like that was like it felt like he was distracting from the fact that the team is not doing very good this year, and he's reaching. Is he the best basketball player in the league right now? Arguably, yes. Arguably.
Mm-hmm.
Is he the best basketball player of all time? No way. I'm not giving him that. You know my allegiance goes with MJ.
And speaking
right.
of that,
yeah,
MJ versus LeBron, yeah, I mean, so now this is a great segue. Who is the better scorer is the question, and I guess we're going to flip it, and Big Mike
come
will
on.
Let you
come
start
on.
With that,
is this
man.
Even is this even an argument?
It's a topic.
Right.
It's a topic. We got to talk about it. Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
Who's the better scorer?
Who's the better
yeah.
scorer?
MJ's the better scorer by far.
Yeah.
LeBron James might be the better overall athlete, but he would I honestly don't think if you put MJ in his prime against LeBron in his prime, I think MJ would beat him 11-6.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I think that, like you said, that my MJ had definitely a better overall game, mid-range. And, I mean, you may give LeBron an edge for outside shooting, but just overall.
I think MJ would demoralize LeBron.
I agree. Oh, easily.
He would talk so much shit that LeBron would be thinking about what he's either going to say next or try to do next. But LeBron wouldn't even have the ball. And MJ would have scored 3 points before LeBron would
yeah.
even get the ball back.
That competitiveness, right? You just think he has on another whole other level, man. That competitiveness, you know, just to.
And I'm not saying
yeah.
I'm not a huge LeBron fan, but I think LeBron is by far the best player in the game. Well, I'm not going to say by far the best player in the game. I think Kevin Durant is inching his way up, especially with the nastiness that he's bringing, but
mm-hmm.
LeBron is the best overall athlete in the game right now. But mm-hmm. as far as if you put MJ and LeBron one on one, I honestly think MJ would destroy him.
Okay.
I don't care if MJ's given up 40, 50 pounds to him. I don't care about LeVar Ball. LeVar Ball can talk all kinds of shit all he wants. You know what I'm saying? Michael Jordan will demoralize you. The first time MJ takes you to the hole and scores in your face, he's talking all kinds of shit, and he's making you second-guess yourself.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he's going to score again.
There you go.
And then he might score again, and then he might score again. And then now it's 4-0.
Wow. Rob.
And Grant. And Mike. And Big Mike Grant.
Mike drop for Big Mike.
Go ahead, Rob.
Absolutely. I think Michael Jordan is the better scorer when it comes to scoring the basketball. You know, as far as Michael Jordan had a post-up game, he had the follow-away game, and, you know, toward the middle to the end of his career, he can really knock down the three-point shot, you know, really consistently. And, you know, we've talked about this before, and to me, there are different basketball players, too. LeBron James is more of a stat sheet stuffer than Michael Jordan is, but Michael Jordan is clearly the better score. I mean, we saw this a couple of finals ago when LeBron led the finals in points, steals, rebounds, assists, and blocks. So he's more of a stat sheet stuffer than Michael Jordan is. But as far as pure scorer, there's no doubt about it. It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I won't belabor the point. Yeah, I won't belabor that point.
I think
that's an easy call.
Can I interrupt and say one more point? That I I'm not taking anything away from LeBron. LeBron is maybe a better Magic Johnson, but Magic Johnson is in nowhere in the conversation of the best basketball player of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Oh, I think Magic is top five player of all time, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Wait,
and I don't like the Lakers, and I'll say that.
Top five, but is that top one or two?
Man, Magic's up there. I say that's too far. That's too far behind.
That's about
I mean,
Magic's
about
there with the top five.
Now, I think all three of these guys are top five players of all time. When you talk about Michael, LeBron, Magic.
I think LeBron is Magic Johnson. He's right up there in the top five, but he's not the top player of all time.
But you said he was nowhere close. That's why I think Umbridge was the nowhere close. That's what I say. That's you put your foot over the line with that one. That's too far.
Yeah. The difference between LeBron and Magic will be that LeBron is a better defensive player than Magic was. But to me, they're still all three of those guys
what
are
I'm
top five
is,
player
what I'm saying
of
is,
all time.
Magic wasn't a three-point shooter either, though.
LeBron and Magic seem to – like, they're all-around players.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah,
we get you. Yeah, I get you. I see that because he's more of a – he's definitely more of a compliment. I always consider Kobe more like Michael Jordan-ish and you know, versus, you know, like a LeBron. You know, LeBron is definitely overall. But, you know, I definitely see where you're going with that, too. We got about 4 minutes. I want to get the shout out.
But if I got the number one pick in a pickup game, I'm taking MJ all day.
Easily.
Everybody
is. We got you. Yep, everyone, yep. We got about 3 minutes here. Rob, if you can get the fantasy shout-outs in really quickly and then set up we're getting ready. You got to, like I said, we got 3 minutes. We can try to get those in, maybe one more topic in, and then we'll try to get the OT portion set up. There's some people calling in the show. Again, I'm not going to, like, take these calls because I'm a little gun-shy for getting catfished. So if you called in the show, we apologize right now. Maybe send me a text or something like that or a tweet. And we'll try to get you in because, again, there's been a couple of people that are calling the show, and I think that we're getting, like, that little barrage of special folks trying to, like, touch space and call in. So, anyway, I've been hanging up on a couple of people, so I apologize, but there's a reason for that. But go ahead, Rob.
All right, fantasy shout-outs for this past week. Anthony Davis, the new 23. That's Ricardo from Austin with a 7-1 victory over the Blue Devil All-Stars. Matthew from Indianapolis, his team, the Naptown Unibrows, with a 7-1 win over Madhouse on Madison. And our co-host, JQ, the Ohio Players, with a 7-1 win over Pastor Rock. And JQ's team's also in first place with a whopping 84-28 record. Those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week.
Yes, nice. Sir. Let's keep it rolling.
You want to gloat, JQ? Anything you want to talk about that, bro?
No, you know why? Because in all our other
That's
fantasy
the
leagues, the number
JQ
one seed.
Winning in life.
Uh-oh. Yeah, okay. So you can go ahead and cut his line, too, as well, if you feel the need to. I'm just a little concerned because in all the other fantasy leagues, the number one seed has not won the championship. So I'm a little concerned, to be quite honest with you, but I'll take it. I'm trying to make the playoffs.
Okay. That's true. We've had some interesting playing. Rob, since for those
yeah, that's true. All four of our fantasy leagues, none of the number one seeds won.
They sure did.
Random. Getting beat Rob. That was funny. Go ahead, Rob. Set us up, bro.
All right, we're getting ready to go into the OT portion of our show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of our show live, but I tell you what, you would want to tune into this show on tomorrow. Click on the same link to listen to the OT portion. We got just about all of our NFL segment coming up on the OT portion. Sorry we had to tease you like that, but definitely on tune in onto this link. We even got some mock draft coverage for you as well. So you don't want to miss it. We still got a little bit more basketball to wrap up. You want to click on the same link on tomorrow to get all of that coverage. Make sure you are following us on Twitter. Like our Talking Sports Facebook page to keep up with what's going on in the sports world. Next week, we'll be back on once again on Wednesday night. That's 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. You don't want to miss it. We get our football and Super Bowl predictions on next week. Good night, people.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And I'm sorry, good people, for all those crazy people calling in and sending us that foolishness. And if Mike keeps talking crazy, we're going to cut his damn line off, too. But I appreciate everybody for calling in and listening to the show. Please download us. We got some more to talk about here. talk about a little bit more NFL here as we get closer to the Super Bowl. You don't want to miss it. Good night. Appreciate y'all.
Big Mike.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me back. It's been a long time. Glad to be on the show.
So again, I don't mean to put you on the spot, Big Mike. We never do that. It's always good to kind of like wrap it up too. So again, we appreciate you going with the flow there. And yeah, we can't wait, America. Stay tuned, because we definitely want to talk about some mock draft coverage. We're going to set that up for next week, because again, Rob has always done a good job of putting that together. So thanks, Rob, on that front.
Absolutely.
And we're good. So yeah, all right, we're officially in the OT portion here. And really quickly, before we talk about the top five athletes and whatnot, I do want to talk briefly about Brad Stevens. And you know, he's had a lot of success in Boston, and as you know, Jason Kidd got fired in Milwaukee, and I guess we're talking about is, does that success translate into Jason Kidd getting fired? And I don't know, fellas, if you heard the Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, actually called Jason, was like, yo, do I need to like make a call, you know, to call the owners? Because, again, you know, I don't know if it's like a little underachievement for the squad, but you have a character or a player of that nature, and this guy, we know he's an up-and-coming, too. Just to kind of see out what he's doing and what's happening with that too. So, yeah, does Brad Stevens' success kind of contribute to that, Rob, or what do you think about this?
Well, you look at the kind of success that Brad Stevens has had in his early, you know, obviously you saw what he did in college with Butler, with a bunch of no-name guys except for Gordon Hayward, and you see what he's doing in the NBA as well. So he's proven that he can put together a pretty good system. You know, whatever level of basketball he's coaching. So I think he's done a phenomenal job this season, even after the Gordon Hayward's injury, putting together a really good basketball team. And you can make a case that the Milwaukee Bucks are just as talented as the Celtics, if not have more talent. And, you know, you look at the Greek Freak, we talked about LeBron James, but this guy can almost do everything on the basketball court as well from a stat sheet stuffer standpoint. He doesn't have the three-point shot yet, but arguably he's the best player in basketball. Not saying he is, but you can make a case that he's right up there at worst being a top five player in the NBA right now as we speak. And Milwaukee has to find a way to put together the right system in place with all the athletes they have on it. Everybody on that team's got a 7'5 wingspan. So they should be having one of the best defensive teams in the league. Outside of Eric Bledsoe, everybody on that team is either 6'10 and got a wingspan that's like 7'5. I mean, so they should be leading the league in steals. They should be leading the league in blocks. They should be the best team in the league on the defensive side of the basketball. Right now they're sitting in the 8th seed in the East, so in my opinion they are underachieving. Did that warrant Jason Kidd getting fired? I don't think so, just in my opinion. I think they should have gave him a little bit more time to put the team together a little bit. But I do think they are underachieving with the talent base that they have. I think they should be a lot better. I mean, Chris Middleton is a solid shooter, scorer on that team as well. So the personnel is there, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, I don't think it's necessarily correlated to Brad Stevens. I think it's more correlated to the fact that you have a bona fide superstar in the Greek Freak, and you're playing in a conference that is there for the, not so much for the taking, but to be a higher season AC. And you look at these teams around the league, like in Atlanta, that's still looking for that guy that they can build a team around. And Milwaukee has him. And you're sitting there in the Eastern Conference and you just, you know, what, 23 and 22, I think the last time I looked at it. But I think I'm with you, Rob. You got to give him a little bit more time because you also traded for Bledsoe. And as we see around the league, that you just, you know, this isn't fantasy basketball where you just throw these dudes on the court together and magic happens. You've got to find a way to incorporate them. They got to figure out, you know, where does he like the ball on this part of the court in this situation when we roll these kind of plays. And that chemistry only comes with time. The repetition and you know, some practice and drawing some plays. So, like I said, you know, and I know y'all laughed at me, Jason Kidd must just be an asshole to where, you know, he's got that hardball thing to him where he just rubs people the wrong way and they're like, you know what, anybody but you. We're just going to go in a different direction because you just have worn out your welcome. Outside of that, I feel like you have to give him a chance to try to incorporate Bledsoe into Middleton and into the Greek Freak and to see if you can make that happen. So I think it's a little premature. If you get the whole season going and you still keep hovering around there and you don't see any signs of progress at the end of the year, yeah, because, I mean, who are you going to get right now that's going to come in and transform them, so to speak? We talked about Fisdale before. I think he's a good coach, but I don't think he's a, you know, once-in-a-generation coach that can, you can put him in there in the middle of the season. And he can, you know, basically turn water into wine, so to speak. So I think it's premature on Milwaukee's fault, apart from firing Jason Kidd. But I don't know if it's a direct correlation to Brad Stevens. I just think it's a Jason Kidd and the owner's looking like, hey, we've got a top 10 talent right now who can move up. I mean, top 10 right now in the league, not all time. In the Greek Freak, and he can move up that list. And we're like, why are we just a game above 500 in the Eastern Conference? We should be higher than that. So I think they jumped the gun. It's a little premature, but I see the makings of why they did it, but I still think it was premature.
And when you look at some of the teams that's ahead of them in the Eastern Conference, the Miami, to me, Miami's overachieving. Eric Sprosher is doing a phenomenal job. And
he
you
is.
Look at Indiana, I think they're overachieving. I mean, that's two teams alone, to me, that's overachieving, that's doing a better job than Milwaukee. Philadelphia, well, you know, you got Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I mean, that's pretty good talent there as well. But they should definitely, at worst, in my opinion, they should be a 5 or 6 seed in the Eastern Conference. They shouldn't be sitting at number 8.
Agreed.
Good. Mike, your thoughts?
I think he might have jumped off for a second. He said he'd be back shortly.
Okay,
man, I said
right.
He had to go take a dump. I'm like, what?
put his business all out there. I guess I'm going to talk about the top 5 athletes of all time. Should we hold off on that so he gets back?
Give me a quick second.
All right.
But can he call in on the post? I don't know if he can call back in once we get into the OT portion.
I don't know if he hung up. Did he hang up?
It looks like his line is still active, so again. Let's talk about – we'll get back to that. We'll talk about some quarterback players in the NFL here. And really quickly, let's talk about this. I know we want to talk about the Super Bowl matchup here and everything like that. But your thoughts, do you think Andrew Luck will be an elite QB again, I guess is the question. And I'll start off with you, JQ, on this. And what do you think about this?
You know, it's tough. I think he could be mental wise. I think he's got the moxie to do it. But man, when you say you go through the shoulder surgery and then you have a setback and then you got to go to Germany to try to get some undercover non FDA kind of approved treatment to get your shoulder back together, that's what gives me pause about him being an elite quarterback. So right now I'm going to say no just because of that, because remember he talked about we're not going to put him on the IR because he's going to be back, and then they got into week 5 or 6 and then it's like, oh well, he still isn't back. He's having a setback. The owner basically called him soft and said it's mental. And then he's got to fly across to Europe and try to get some kind of, non-approved treatment for that shoulder. It's the injury piece for me, not his ability when he's healthy to be able to be an elite quarterback, but will his arm hold up? Because, I mean, if you're a quarterback, if your arm ain't going to hold up, you can't be elite. For right now, I'm going to say no. I'm going to hold off judgment until I see him throwing again. And doing the things he was doing before. And let's not kid ourselves. Even before that injury, he wasn't really playing great football, if you want to be honest. With
that's
you, all the hoopla and fanfare that he got. Even outside of that, he made some bad decisions when you could try to scramble or throw it away. He made some bad decisions as well. He wasn't playing elite quarterback, even outside of that. And I agree, his offensive line wasn't fantastic, but his decision-making wasn't great either. It wasn't elite decision-making. So you put that with it, his downtick and his shoulder injury, I'm going to say no for right now. I mean, I don't want that to be the case, but given the evidence in front of me, I'm going to have to say no.
Rob?
I'm going to say that he does find a way to get back to that level. And, I mean, we saw when Peyton Manning had the off-season surgery on his neck and things of that nature, and we all – thought he was done as well when he missed that whole season. He still came back and still had another 3 or 4 or 5 years of great success with the Colts and then moving on to Denver as well. So I'm going to say he has the talent, and I think he finds a way to overcome this. But I do think if you're the Colts, you do have to be somewhat concerned. But I think he does find a way to come back from this and still have some great success for the Colts. And I still think he has a bright future with the Indianapolis Colts. But I can see the cause for concern, though.
Yeah. No.
Glass half full.
Yeah, Drew Brees had like a torn labrum or some crazy, you know, injury as well. I'm not saying it was the same type of thing, but he was able to definitely come back because the Chargers kind of gave up on him, and he's had another, you know, obviously second side of his career has been fantastic too. Not saying that it's the same thing.
Brees
like,
didn't miss the whole season though.
He didn't have to go to Europe to get the kind of crazy treatment.
With you on that.
He did have to go to Birmingham.
But I'm just saying, don't count off everything too. As far as that was that torn labrum was a pretty serious injury for a quarterback. Again, that was his throwing disorder too.
It was.
So again,
I mean, he was scaring Nick Saban away when he was coach
with
Miami and let him back to college.
They got Culpepper instead of Brees.
But just showing you, like I said, different types of injuries from that thing. But just wanted to let you guys know that you can come back through something like that, even as something serious as your throwing arm, mentally and everything. It has to kind of have a perfect storm, for real. Go ahead.
I think it depends on what type of man you are. Does he have the desire to press through this and overcome it? We talked about Peyton Manning.
Right,
Peyton Manning had the desire. Drew Brees had the desire to prove people wrong. And so does Andrew Luck have that desire? Is he man enough to get through this and come back and be an elite quarterback? So we'll see what kind of heart he has coming back from this.
Okay.
So I'm back, folks, right. if I can weigh in on this. I'm somewhere between JQ and Rob there. I think Andrew Luck had the remnants of the Peyton Manning offense that made him look good for a while there. And he was thriving in that offense until the injury. But I also think there's got to be some type of – you got to be the man like Drew Brees went through to come back and be as solid as he's been in the playoffs this year. And frankly, I think Drew Brees was the best quarterback in the playoffs this year. Can Andrew Luck get there? I think the jury's still out. He's young enough to come back from the injury that he's had. I'm not sure that he's got the talent around him right now, but I think he's got the tools to be the man, and I'm just not sure whether or not at this point that he will get there. Does that make sense?
Fair enough. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good call. I mean, you know, definitely we got to figure out how that happens. Like we talk about Father Time and, you know, great points as far as Desire Rob and just, you know, everything as far as around too. But good call. Hey, Mike, we save this for you really quickly. We're going to talk about the top five QB, or excuse me, top five, is it athletes that we're looking at? Top five athletes?
Yep, top five athletes of all time.
All right.
Oh,
so
boy,
we'll go.
Lead this off.
Well,
top five athletes.
Oh, he's jumping in. Mike, you want to jump in? Okay, Mike, you can go first. Okay. I didn't roll you around.
I was asking, is it top five athletes, top five quarterbacks?
Athletes in all of sports.
Athletes.
Wow.
And your definition of athletes, it could be the top five sportsmen, pure athletes, however you want to do it. It's a combination of both for me. You know, best in their sport
I'm going to start off with somebody that nobody's going to say. Jesse Owens got to be right up there.
Oh, that's a good one. That's really good.
Michael Jordan's going to be my number two.
Come on,
Will Chamberlain's got to be my number three.
Wow.
Plus, he should have with everybody in the Staples Center.
As much as it pains me to say it, I gotta say Tom Brady, number four. As far as athlete, he doesn't fit what I would normally call the best athlete out there, but the dude is killing it. He's a system quarterback. I get it. I get all the arguments against Tom Brady, but I got to put him up there. Number five. Number five is hard.
We just haven't said the obvious one.
Who do you want, JQ?
I'm a reserver for mine. Go ahead and say who you gonna say number five. Struggle bus.
Yeah, number five is a struggle for me. I'm gonna plead the fifth right now.
Think about that if you come back. Rob.
That's so
M-I-M-T-H fifth.
So many amendments in the Constitution. If I had to choose one, I choose the fifth. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Rob. Couldn't help it.
If you want
all right. All right, I got top five, and then I have five honorable mentions here, too. For me, it's Michael Jordan, number one.
There's a top five, and then there's a five honorable mention.
It really could be 100 people on honorable mention, but for the sake of our show, we'll just have a top five and a few honorable mentions. But there's so many great athletes that we've seen in sports here just in our lifetime, and there's a lot even before our lifetime. But for me, I got to go with Michael Jordan, number one. When you talk about the desire to lead the team to victory, as well as his athleticism, leading the team to six championships as well. And we talked about Kevin Durant with a mean streak, nasty streak, whatever you want to call it. Jordan had all of that, and he wanted to take your throat out. So he was just a great athlete, a desire to win, all of that. You know, in my book, puts him in the number one position. And the number two position, you guys might not know him, but obviously when I was coming up in school, I was a captain of the prep quiz bowl team and had a chance to write a story about Jim Thorpe.
Yes.
Going way back to the early 1900s. So you're talking about Jim, Jim Thorpe. He was probably the greatest athlete in the first half of the 20th century.
Rob, I give you credit. I hate to interrupt you, but that's who I was looking to say, Jim Thorpe.
He's one of mine.
And Jim Thorpe might have been my fifth.
Yep. And you talking about Jim Thorpe,
ahead,
Jim Thorpe
man.
Played
I'm
football.
Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's okay. Jim Thorpe played football, baseball, and track, and he was dynamite in all three sports. So he thought, in 1912 he scored 25 touchdowns, 198 points. He played four positions, played running back, defensive back, place kicker, and punter. And, of course, in 1912 he was in the Summer Olympics in Sweden, won gold medals. Decathlon.
And they didn't acknowledge him because he was, partially Indian?
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Won an amazing 8 out of 15 individual events that were part of two competitions. So I'm going to go with Jim Thorpe at number two. Number three, probably surprise you all again here, Pelé.
Wow.
Ooh.
Look up.
Soccer here. So for our soccer lovers, we got a little soccer in the game tonight. And you know, we had a president by the name of George Bush who didn't realize they have black people in Brazil. But I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
But I guess he never watched Pelé play. But Pelé is probably the best soccer/football player of all time from Brazil. He scored 1,281 goals. You know how hard it is to get a goal in soccer? He scored 1,281 goals in 1,363 matches, won three World Cups. Unbelievable what he did for the game of soccer/football, wherever country you're from. And number four, my favorite athlete prior to Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali. When you talk about what he did for that sport,
I had that
and,
over here. I had him on too.
Yeah, that's who. I was struggling between my fifth with Muhammad and Jim Thorpe. That's who I was struggling to say.
He's on my list.
Man, y'all are killing me.
Yeah, Ali had blinding speed. He was quickness. He was agile. He had grace. He had style. He had a mouth out of this world, of course. He was tough, hard, had the instincts. Muhammad Ali for me at the number four spot. And number five, I got to go with Tom Brady. Tom Brady's got five championships. He's definitely the best quarterback of all time. And it looked like he has a chance to get six. This is his eighth Super Bowl he's playing into. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. When Jacksonville was up 20-10 in that game, I never thought Jacksonville was going to win the game. And that's I just never thought that they were going to win that game. Even when they were up 20-10, you just knew Tom Brady was going to come out with some kind of magic, make a great play. It don't matter what kind of wide receiver he's got out there. And, you know, he just finds a way to get it done. And I have him at the number five position. So my honorable mention, Deion Sanders, and my honorable mention.
No, man, you're taking mine.
No, it's just an honorable mention. You can talk about yours.
No, but you're going to talk about all you got.
Okay, I'm not going to talk about him. I'll let you talk about him. Well, my honorable mention is Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Jim Brown, Babe Ruth, and a little hockey for you, Bobby Orr.
Wow.
Yeah,
And I apologize. I came through a complete silence on my fifth, but I was trying to decide between Jim Thorpe and Muhammad Ali.
I cannot believe you guys do not have Bo Jackson as the greatest athlete of all time. Are you serious? Bo Jackson for me,
his
one.
Career was
I have an honorable mention, but to me, he just hadn't done enough in either sport to compare. He never won a championship in either sport to take his team over the hump. And that's the only reason I got him in an honorable mention category.
Man, you can't let what your eyes saw, what you saw him do. That dude was a flat out freaking nature two sport athlete. This dude is out here shooting bow and arrows and hitting bullseyes with his feet. Bo Jackson is ridiculous for me. Greatest athlete of all time is Bo Jackson. I'm gonna put another two star athlete in there. You talked about him. Prime time. That dude Deion. Blazing speed, another two-sport athlete, going from one game and taking the helicopter to another game and all just hitting 300, it just flat out ridiculous. I'm going to copy you. I had Jim Thorpe as number three. I had Jim Brown number four. And I'm going to go off the beaten path with this one. I'm going to go with Jackie Joyner Kersee at number five.
Wow, that's a
flat
good
out ridiculous athlete. You know, all the events in the Olympics and just bossing people in them. Those are my five. And, I mean, I know we're splitting hairs with the greatest athletes of all time.
Where's the love for Dan Jansen, bro?
Yeah, hey, listen, I remember that. I remember the Nike, the promotional tour, him and Dan and what's up the dude's name? Dan and
Don or whatever the fuck their name is.
Dan Johnson and
good thing our show is after hours.
You would. You probably got Dan Jansen at number five, don't you?
That's not who you have, so you can keep the right people.
I'll throw out another name for you guys.
Can we just go on the trade? We don't need to even hear JQ.
I'll throw out another name for you guys here. That even after I put mine together, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, there's probably 100 people we can put on this list.
Absolutely.
But what's the guy that just recently won all the swimming medals?
Michael Phelps,
yeah. I thought about it after I finished mine.
Yeah.
You can make a case for him, too.
You can.
I mean, you guys have pretty much obliterated all the ones
I had.
White
people.
I'll give you some extra ones I thought about, too. I thought about Willie Mays.
I mean, LeBron James and Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I thought about Tiger Woods, too. I thought about Willie Mays, you know, obviously one of the great baseball players as well. Tiger Woods, you know, Walter Payton. Just a couple guys. I mean, top, you know, five. You know, we've covered those, and so we're good from there too. But I definitely had Muhammad Ali on my list too, and then Jesse Owens, and you know, like I said, the Hank Aaron of the world. I'm just a fan of that too. But good calls all the time, and we'll talk about it too. But all right, guys, I don't want to spend too much time on a lot of the talk about. I'm trying to like differentiate because a lot of these topics are very similar, and there's four of us, so it's like 12:09. I definitely want to wrap this up. But can we do like a quick recap as far as, you know, the matchup between the Patriots and Eagles? Is it a good matchup? You know, and then I guess we'll talk about, I guess it's going to depend on the game if Nick Foles is going to find another spot afterwards. And then, you know,
how he performed. And then, you know, I guess we're going to talk about, and you guys can lump all these in for your topics as far as, is this kind of helped them, the Eagles, as far as being an underdog in the Super Bowl, because they kind of used it against the Falcons, and will it help them, you know, because, again, mm-hmm. I know we got a lot of fans that are like, you know, they just hate the Patriots, so they want the Eagles to win. And then, you know, obviously we'll talk about mock draft next week. So a lot of topics. I'm going to let Rob tackle that, JQ, and then Mike, and then we'll kind of wrap this up as well, too. So go ahead, Rob. There's a lot of things to hit, but the floor is yours now.
Yeah, I'll start off with the underdog role for the Eagles. I definitely think they have definitely embraced that role. I mean, when you're talking about a team who was the first time ever a number one seed in the divisional round came into the playoffs as an underdog. And,
right.
They definitely embraced that role. And obviously, I can see why Vegas put them as an underdog. We just hadn't seen enough of Nick Foles running that offense. They were a little shaky toward the end of the regular season. Obviously, the bye week and the playoffs kind of helped them to bring them along and things of that nature. So I understand the reason why Vegas had them an underdog. I didn't think they would be. I didn't predict pick them to beat Atlanta or the Minnesota. So,
right.
but with that being said, I actually think they could match up really well with the Patriots. I really do. I mean, when you look at what Doug Peterson has done with that offense, he's got the offensive line playing really nasty. I mean, they really handled that defensive front for Minnesota, which has been one of the best in the league all year. And I mean, that's obviously a quarterback's best friend if you get a good offensive line with a good running game. And their defense has been really good all year. I mean, has it been Minnesota good? No, but they've been just a notch below it. Still been one of the better defenses in the league. I think we're going to have a really good Super Bowl. I really do believe that. I'll save my prediction for next week, but I do think the Eagles match up with the Patriots really well, and I think we are going to see a really good Super Bowl.
Yeah, and, you know, y'all talk bad about me. I just want the record to reflect that y'all talk bad about me when I told the Eagles fans not to jump off the bridge, you know, the Delaware Bridge, whatever the hell bridge connects them to Delaware, when Carson Wentz got hurt. And y'all laughed at me when you did. You know, laughed at me when I said that. Now, I didn't think you were going to take them to the Super Bowl, so I ain't going to take it that far. But I just have a hard time saying Nick Foles is going to beat, you know, that mastermind of defense of Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia. I think – I just can't say that. Can he do it? I mean, he's been playing pretty good. That defense has been putting him in good positions. But I just feel like one day he's going to wake up and be like, oh, Jesus, I am still Nick Foles. And it's going to show itself in the, you know, in the worst possible time in the Super Bowl. I just can't go with that. I mean, I think I'm with you, Rob. I think it's going to be a really good game. I don't think you're going to see anything close to what they did to Minnesota. That was just a flat-out, you know, monkey stomping that happened in that game.
I don't think anybody in America saw that coming.
No, not at all, outside of the people that live in Philadelphia. And they didn't even see it coming. But, I'm hoping for a really good Super Bowl. I think it should be a good one. I just can't go with Nick Foles over Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia, not up in Tom Brady. And I think this might be, you know, a perfect way for that kind of that piece for New England, where they're going to probably lose. They're going to lose Patricia. They're going to lose the offensive coordinator as well. They're going to lose their special teams coach.
McDaniel.
Sorry.
Yep.
You're going to lose your special teams coach as well, because they're saying he's going to probably go with one of them because his contract is up. I mean, that special time that New England fans have been, you know, gotten so spoiled by, I think we might start to see that window starting to close with that. And, of course, with all the talk of the rift between Brady and Belichick, because you get egos getting in the way, and at some point somebody's going to want to take credit for all the success. And as much as people like to say, yeah, it's a team effort, it's a team game, you know, when you got a superstar quarterback and a superstar head coach, you kind of get that dynamic and that pull of who's really the reason behind it. I think we're starting to see that, you know, come to fruition, and it just seems like it's the perfect way for them to ride out on a back-to-back, you know, kind of championship. I hate that, you know, because, of course, I hate the Patriots, but I just can't see Nick Foles beating Tom Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl. I mean, I would love it, but, you know, me and Mike talk about it all the time. Could you see it happening with that Eagles defense? Yeah. But would you put your hard-earned money on it to bet on it? No.
No. Mike, wrap it up, bro.
I'm gonna
That's what
that
JQ I'm used to hearing. He always goes with the better quarterback in his predictions.
Yeah,
he's been consistent with that. I'll give him that.
Yeah, except for the Nick Foles in the playoffs, though.
I'm going to start out by saying that if I had to put money on the game, I'd put it on the Patriots. But I think the Patriots offense and the Philadelphia defense match up very well. I think it's going to be a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. I think if Doug Peterson, who is a West Coast offense guy, sat behind Brett Favre in Green Bay for a long time, and he's got a good mind for an offense, if he can
get Nick Foles to stay under control.
Well, there's a history there. If he can get Nick Foles to stay under control like he did against Minnesota, who was supposedly one of the best defenses in the league, and score some points. And, I mean, the dude scored 38 points, right? Well, 31.
31.
Defense.
Yep.
Yeah, 31. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he can get Nick Foles to score the points that he needs to score. I think Philadelphia's got a chance to win this game. I think they've got to play a perfect game, just like Jacksonville had to score or had to play a perfect game, and they almost did, but they had a few mishaps. You know, right before the half,
they got conservative.
They probably should have tried to get into field goal range at the end of the game. They probably should have not been so conservative. But
yeah,
the end of the day, Philadelphia has a good chance to win this game, and I think that defense leads the way against Tom Brady. But you're still going against Tom Brady. And if I had to put money on the game, I'd bet on the Patriots. But I think I think it's going to be a great game. I think we're about to see a great Super Bowl. As much as I don't want to see either of those teams in the Super Bowl, I hate both of those teams.
Yeah,
and I don't want to see either of them win. I'd love to see the lights go out and go to a tie. but as far as I'm concerned, as a Green Bay fan, it's better than the Vikings winning the Super Bowl. And either one of those teams is going to get to be in Minneapolis and talk shit to all the Vikings fans around. So I might not be on the call next week. So I'm going to give you my predetermined prediction, and I'm going to say Philadelphia 24. New England 21.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I like it.
Go out on that limb.
I'm going to save mine for next week. I got to tease our audience here.
There you go.
Well, like I said, I'll say just to kind of pack up, just to kind of like add my thoughts to it too. And everyone has made great points. And it's like tough because, you know, your mind wants to tell you that you cannot count out, you know, Tom Brady some way, somehow. You know, you gotta make sure that there's 0 seconds of the clock before you celebrate, for sure. And that's coming from, you know, the Falcon fan in me. But it's tough because, you know, I do think the defense of the Philadelphia Eagles does give them a shot because, you know, they're gonna try to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Fletcher Cox, that's a tough defense, you know, and they play pretty aggressive. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Brady may get a couple shots, but they're gonna try to shut down the run. And like you said, you know, you're not sure what's gonna happen with the Gronk and whatnot, but that defense can be prepared. But then the flip side of that, like JQ is saying, that it is Nick Foles, and you're thinking that some way, somehow, the Patriots are going to trick him into, you know, making a bad decision or something like that, and then it can turn the game some way, somehow. But defensively, the Eagles can more than definitely match up against the Patriots. But again, it's just thinking, you know, the other side of the equation, right? It's not like it's freaking Tom Brady versus Joe Montana. It's freaking Tom Brady versus Nick Foles. And that's not a knock on Nick Foles. It's just, again, it's like, man, it's not like Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees. It's like Nick Foles. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, you know, does he have can the defense make a play? I mean, we've seen teams win with a dominant defense, you know, like the Bears, the 85 Bears, or like the freaking Baltimore Ravens, but this is not that squad. So, again, we'll see how that plays out. But good calls on that. Anyone have any other thing to wrap up before we talk about mock draft, wrap up the show? Anyone else have any last thoughts on that?
I just want to know if that dude is going to run into the subway pole again. If the Eagles win.
That was hilarious.
One time for the Philadelphia police having to put Crisco on the light poles So those fools wouldn't climb the light poles if they won. Like, the Philadelphia fans are on another level. Like, you know, we know about throwing the batteries.
You know somebody tried,
Claus.
JQ. Yeah, yeah.
They did.
Yeah, I heard those fans, they were outrageous toward the Vikings fans, too, at that game.
Yeah, they said they were mocking them with the skull chain doing
the
foals. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I tried God. The other night. Mm-hmm. Me and JQ were hanging out. I tried the other night just on the light pole in front of the house, and I'm not even a Philadelphia fan.
Oh, man.
That's funny. Good job, Mike. All right, let's set up the mock draft coverage for next week, Rob, and then let's wrap up the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everyone tuning in. We will give you a little tease for the mock draft coverage for next week. We're going to preview the Super Bowl once again. We'll get our predictions in for next week, so you don't want to miss next week's show. We should be right around signing day for college football. We may give you a little teaspoon of that. Obviously, keep you abreast of what's happening in the basketball world as we're getting into the heart of the NBA and college basketball season here as well. Once again, we'll be back on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in.
And I was not with that fool last week. He did not climb the pole in front of his house. Oh, Mike, you are a fool. We appreciate you calling
in. It was my house.
Yeah, listen, you pay the bills.
But I might have done it.
Oh, my gosh, that's funny. Oh, my God.
Man, I appreciate everybody for listening to it. You got a very lively show. We are sorry for the people who decided to call in and hit us with the smell my fingers routine. We truly apologize
man.
For that foolishness.
Come on,
that's so outlandish. We promise that
is
the next
this,
time we start even getting a piece of that
people?
Foolishness. Yes, because we're cutting you off next. But we appreciate y'all listening to the show.
Give us your feedback. Have to give a bad name to white people.
Something you got to take up with the white triumvirate. Yes, call us in, listen to us, give us some feedback on the mock draft. Tell Rob if he's right or wrong about what he has your team doing, and we'll talk to you next week. Mike, you're stupid. Just
not my fault.
You
want to
say?
I'm a victim.
Okay.
Big Mike, you want to say anything before we wrap this up?
Hey, it was good to talk to y'all again.
All right.
Absolutely. Appreciate
crew,
you calling, bro.
America, thank you for tuning in to an entertaining, episode of Talk Sports 12th Man. I'm going to go on a limb. I was going to put me for the top five athletes like LeBron five times, but I decided to go against that. I'll congratulate myself later. But till next week, guys.
Dylon.
There it is. All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week. Secrets now. Thanks, gentlemen. We'll see you guys. Be safe.
All right, bro. Talk to you later.
Yep,
good night,
people. Yep. Good night.